And we're back.
We are back.
For the second time.
Yeah, a little mistake.
So something happened that was not so chill.
Yeah, not chill at all.
Not chill. So first of all, welcome back to another episode of We Need More Cowbell.
We can clap now because there's foam on the walls.
Yes. Oh, it's very nice. So anyway, this is We Need More Cowbell. It's a podcast about SNL. It's history, it's cast, best sketches, and more. I'm your co-host, Maddie Pryor.
And I'm Jamie Chaffetz.
Yeah, so we've recorded this episode before, but you're never going to hear it.
Sad.
So we made an oopsie. So basically we recorded an entire episode and did not realize until the next day or so that Jamie's mic was not working.
Yeah,
sad story. You defo don't want to hear a whole hour of me by myself talking, because that'd just be insane.
Well, it's, you know, it could happen, but,
So we'll go back and pretend like we haven't talked about any of these things.
Yeah, totally fresh.
And it'll be totally fine, because we have watched the same episode in, like, 4 weeks, but it's fine. It's going to be great.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
So, since April, let's see. Jamie did a really awesome web series called Effectively Schizo.
This is true.
Real legit.
It's
actors, producers, yeah. Cameras.
Okay, we had cameras.
I mean, someone filmed it. And it premiered at a theater in Red Bank, which is super awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
And Maddie over here had some crazy stuff going on, aside from lots of travels, also has a ring on her finger now.
I got a rock now. I got engaged. That was fun.
That's awesome.
TBT.
TBT.
No, it was pretty wonderful. So I guess since what's happened in SNL land since April, we're just going to talk about our favorite sketches that have happened since then. And there are many to choose from.
Yeah.
Because it's like almost a year. So Jamie's going to start us off.
Well, So Adam Sandler went on SNL. It was like sometime last year. And he did a Sandler family reunion. And I really appreciated the Melissa Villaseñor's Bobby Boucher.
I love her.
Kristen Wiig was his mom.
Ugh.
Played excellently.
Of course.
And Jimmy Fallon was doing the Sandler nonsense. That whole thing.
Yippee doobie. Yeah.
So, I definitely appreciated that sketch. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, and then the song he wrote, right, about...
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley was pretty awesome.
That was sad.
Yeah.
That was really sad.
I think, you know, my favorite since April, really just overall the Eddie Murphy episode was really well done.
Yeah.
He hosted in December with Lizzo as musical guest, who obviously also killed it. It was his first big return in a long time, and he did, like, Buckwheat and Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood and Gumby, which was phenomenal. But I really actually liked, I think it was the last sketch of the night, where he was supposed to be an elf, because it was one of the... I don't know if it was the Christmas show, but it was right before Christmas.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be an elf who had, like, seen some shit. And was, like, talking on the news about how all the elves are dead, and there's, like, a polar bear eating the elves. And go back and watch it. It was very funny. And, it wasn't any of the classic bits, and it was the last sketch of the night, which is usually, like, not ideal, but it was fabulous. Mm.
I always appreciate a good... last sketch, like, being actually good, not just filling time.
You're like, yes, I made it.
Yeah, and then you get to, like, see the hugs at the end.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was all worth it.
Yes.
I do have to shout out, though, since we've recorded our episode that will never be aired, J.J. Watt was phenomenal. I love him. He was so good.
I didn't see it.
It was good. It was very good, I just have to say. Anyway, So that's what's been happening for the last 3 months.
Sure.
3 months. And, I guess we can get back into it, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, I'm so tired.
It is like a rainy day.
It's rainy. It's gross.
Tired type of day. Yeah. I woke up today, did yoga, and wanted to get back in bed right afterwards. I didn't feel energized at all afterwards.
I didn't do yoga.
My roommate made me.
Good for your roommate.
She's like, get up. No, yeah. She didn't say that. She just knocked on the door.
I got up and then put my alarm for another 15 minutes.
That's what I do every day.
It's a really bad habit. I never used to do it. Now I do it all the time because I'm old, I think. I don't know.
I think it's an old thing. I do the
same
thing.
It's an old thing,
yeah. Once you hit 30.
It's rough. I'm almost there.
You got a little ways.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're all the way up to episode 5.
Yeah. A whopping episode 5.
So episode 5 aired on November 15th, 1975. Do you want to talk about the host and musical guest?
Sure, because I have a really great memory of all this. The host was Robert Klein, and the musical guests were Loudon Wainwright. The third. Yeah. And the band I'm very excited to talk about is ABBA. You're probably more excited than I am.
Yeah. We may have rewritten some of this part. I'm very excited about ABBA. But anyway, so...
Yeah, they were cool.
No, they're great. Yeah. Fun fact about Robert Klein... One, he did HBO's first ever stand-up comedy special in that year, which is cool. Because, now they're, known for it. I know him, however, as Grace Adler's dad on Will and Grace.
Had no idea. Literally had no idea.
Love it.
It's hard to feign excitement because I didn't know that, but then I knew it. And now I don't know it again. I know it also. Anyway.
It's like you're finding these things out for the first time.
Exactly.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
So yeah, the first sketch I thought was funny. It was like their cold open, but it was Chevy Chase. I never know if it's Chevy or Chevy.
It's Chevy. I don't know either.
It bothers me every time we do this.
Why?
Because I don't know which one it is.
What did they say in the intros?
Chevy. It's like a between.
Chevy.
I don't know. But then I feel like when I say Chevy, that's like a car.
Oh yeah, Chevy.
Chevy sounds weird. Chevy sounds right, I think, for the person. But for some reason to me, the car sounds like Chevy.
Chevy is the car.
Right?
Yeah.
Chevy versus Chevy. Okay, that makes sense. So I'm just gonna do Chevy and I'm gonna emphasize it.
Okay. Yeah.
So the cold open is Lorraine Newman is accepting a pageant award while Chevy is the MC. She speaks in like a Beverly Hills accent. She's like, I'm so grateful for this award, but I can't accept it because it's perpetuating a plastic morality and a meat market. She takes off her dress to reveal she's wearing regular jean shorts or something. And as she's talking, she's like, I have a far out bod, which is such a 70s thing.
Yeah.
Far out.
I love it.
And so as she's taking this dress off and the crown and the tiara and everything, she hands it over to Chevy. And so now he's dressed like the pageant queen and has to walk down the catwalk.
Yeah, but she does.
And then surprise.
Oops.
Lips. Eat shit.
Yeah.
So then he gets up with his tiara.
His tiara.
He gets up with his tiara. I literally wrote, gets up with his tiara askew. Like, who do I think I am? He gets up with
his
tiara.
That's a great word, though.
Right? To the side. It's askew.
It's askew.
And, does the live from New York a Saturday night.
Yes.
And then they go through the, what do you call it? The theme song. And announce the usual...
People.
However, they do say no film by Albert Brooks.
Which is not a bad thing.
Right.
Because he's a little weird.
As of yet.
As of yet.
Right. Plus, then you're like, does that really mean there's no film?
Right.
Or is it called like no film?
And it's like an anti-film.
Film.
Well, yeah, exactly. You don't know this guy.
You really do not know.
It's a surprise.
Yeah. So, just the usual suspects. And then Robert Klein does his monologue. But he said it's almost like, so he's doing his monologue, he's talking about stand up, and he's saying, being live, filming something live is scary, but it's like almost like when you watch a parade, you like want the person to drop the baton.
Yeah.
Like, do it! she did it! And then he talks about roller skating bears and Smokey the Bear. he makes some sort of funny joke about how not all chimpanzees wear tuxedos and smoke cigars, and because that's how they're, you know, portrayed in TV and stuff. But then it's funny because we remember like half the things.
Yeah, half.
So we're really good at doing our research, due diligence.
I swear, the first episode, if you guys
we were like, boom, yeah, boom, boom. It sounded really good. To us.
To us, exactly.
But he does say, like, being scared is actually something he likes, because it's, like, something you can use in your own life, where, like, if a serial killer is coming to murder you, it's, like, experience and practice.
Is that what it means?
No.
Yeah. Wait, there was something with a serial killer.
Yeah, though. I can't remember.
I can't remember that. It was something about that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
So he talks about roller skating bears. You know, not all chimpanzees smoke cigars and wear tuxedos, because they made poor chimpanzees do that in the 70s.
Terrible.
And he makes some sort of reference about serial killers, which...
Yeah.
As a something. True crime fanatic, I appreciate. Yeah. But this is not a true crime podcast. I love the next thing.
The next thing was...
Yes,
with ABBA.
Yes, ABBA. So, ABBA. Fun fact, me and a couple of my friends went to go see an ABBA tribute cover band last year.
Ooh.
And it was lit. But weird, so I say ABBA because...
Is like it ABBA or ABBA?
So you're right. So I say ABBA like a trashy American. And we're all like, yay, ABBA! Like, Mamma Mia, ABBA! And we go to this show and these Swedish women are like... ABBA. We love ABBA, and we all share our love with ABBA, and we were like, what is this? But you're right.
Oh my god.
It's like a weird, I don't know. So, ABBA. ABBA. Still weird.
It does sound weird now that I'm saying it.
Right? Now that you say it over and over again? Anyway, so they're the musical, or one of the musical guests, I should say. So, it was interesting because it seemed like they were starting a new sketch.
Right.
But, you know, instead they're, actually they kind of like, it kind of was a sketch, so... Robert Klein comes on, and he's sitting at a table, like he's the captain at the Titanic, and, of course, hilariously, ABBA, starts singing their song SOS, and in the middle of it, you know, the Titanic starts singing, and he's, like, trying to talk to these dinner guests, and, you know, there's a hole in the wall, and water's coming out all over his face, and he's, like, trying to hide it, and... So it was just, like, interesting.
Yeah, cool mashup.
Yeah, cool mashup is a good way to put it. Like, you know, this huge, huge band, you know, it's, like, right after they won Eurovision and all this kind of stuff. So they're just, like, doing their thing, and then they mix it up with a sketch. It was interesting.
Those guys.
I kind of wish they would do that more often.
Musical guests in the sketch.
Yeah, or just, like, because I feel like a lot of times they'll have... the musical guests in a sketch for like 30 seconds.
Right.
And like, that's like, it.
Yeah. But these guys were like actually in it, like singing and stuff, doing their thing.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's Pong.
Oh God, Pong. So this one was basically two Midwestern kids talking about their history exam and how one of them screwed up, and it was just
real
like,
bad.
Yeah. But like, it was literally just the game. If you're over the age of like 25, you should get the reference, but like Pong is like a really boring game for like the 70s where like you literally have a ball that goes back and forth and you have to like
it's ping pong on a computer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so bad.
It's real bad. But they were just talking the whole time, and then like what were they talking about? 19th and 20th century, mixing up Hamilton and Burr, and then getting their
like trues and falses.
Oh yeah,
like on their tests.
Yeah,
like
it was really
boring. One of these dudes messed up like royally on the tests, and the other did A-okay. So.
Yeah,
that was it.
There wasn't
really a punchline.
Yeah, no, there was not.
It was
there was no game, as they call it. Have you heard that phrase? Like
because
I'm taking an improv class and we're talking about the game of everything. It's like the game, and there's like no game in this. Like there's no funny thing that they keep exaggerating.
Right.
It's just
boring ass pun.
Yeah, exactly.
The next one was kind of weird. The next sketch, it was featuring Mike Mendoza, crime photographer.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
Who was Dan Aykroyd of the Mexico City Police. But then it also turned into, like, a soap opera. Yeah. Then it also turned into like an interactive audience experience. So
there's a lot.
There was a lot. So Lorraine Newman is in like a nice dress, draped over a couch, like obvi, very dead. Be dead. and so Dan Aykroyd, who's supposed to be a crime photographer, comes in and starts shooting her as if she's like a model.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, give me this, give me that. I love this, I love that. You know, the wind's in your hair, you know, give me that look. She's Which
just,
is weird.
And she's just laying there.
She's, as we explained, V-dead.
Yeah.
Not responding. And so while that's happening, Chevy is being interviewed as if he's like, you know, the husband that did it or whatever, by an officer who was Jim Belushi. And he admits to killing the wife, or the mistress, that's what she is, and stole all of her rubies, and it was whatever. So he explains it. And then... he says he's deeply... I could not find a reference to this. I have no idea what it means. But he said he's deeply in debt to the syndicate. I don't know.
Wait, that's a Mission Impossible thing? Wait, Mission Impossible wasn't even out there.
Correct. So I don't know if it's like some government stuff. It's over my head. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So then Belushi says, okay, you're free to go. And he's like, okay. And then this is where... I mean, that shit already turned weird.
Yeah.
And then it just tenfold.
Yeah.
They asked the camera.
Oh, right.
And by they, I mean, it was Aykroyd and Belushi, and they're like, you have 25 seconds to come up with the right answer about who did it. You're like, what?
You just told us you did it.
Right. And then they're like, we know who did it, but does the audience know?
Yeah.
And then his camera's missing. My camera's missing. I know who took it, but does the audience? It was very weird.
It was weird.
And then they said, Don Pardo, who's, you know, the announcer.
Yeah.
Do you know? You know, and he doesn't answer. They're like, I don't know. Where's Don Pardo? And they say, I don't know where he is, but does the audience know? We're going to give them 1 year to find out.
I wonder if they actually follow up in a year.
I know. But also, like, whether or not they do or don't,
it's weird. Whack. It's just weird. They're breaking all sorts of walls.
Yeah. The fourth and the fifth.
Yeah.
Every wall's broken in this sketch. Exactly. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it was weird. It started funny because, like, you know, the fact that he's a crime photographer and he's pretending to be, like, a model photographer. But then it just...
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great. Not their best work.
Yeah. I loved the next sketch I loved, which was the B-Centennial Minute.
Yes.
With Garrett Morris, who's, like, dressed in, like, colonial garb. And the image of Washington crossing the Delaware is in the background. And he's telling the story of a bee named Henry who leaves his hive, he gets lost, and eventually he finds his way to Washington's tent. Reminder, I'm talking about a bee.
Yeah.
To get his bearings. and when a human person...
A human person.
Goes into the tent and naps.
You're tired.
I am very... I want the nap, yeah. He crushes the bee.
That is sad.
And all he says is that's the way it was 200 years ago. I don't know. Garrett Moore's doing pretty much anything that's funny to me.
That's true.
And, you know, they just had to work the bee in there.
Yeah. The bees have to somehow...
There's gotta be.
There's gotta be.
That was pretty good.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I know you loved Loudon Wainwright, right?
Yeah. So wait, I had a thing about him.
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
I had some fun fact about him and I don't have it anymore.
So he comes out on stage wearing like this Argyle grandpa sweater.
Yes.
And starts singing about the bicentennial.
Yeah. It was a little depressing. Kind of.
It was weird.
Yeah.
He's just a weirdo.
This episode is full of weird.
Yeah. No, real weird.
It was just like a... And I talked to my mom about that. I was like, was the bicentennial like a huge thing? She's like, yeah. It's like Y2K. And I was
like... But like positive.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's interesting.
True.
That's an interesting
like, everyone
way to put
thought
it.
Like it was like such a big deal at the time. And like a month later, nobody really cared about it.
Right. That's interesting. So it's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, this dude, you guys got to look him up. listen to his song. I think the song is literally called Bicentennial by Loudon Wainwright III.
Oh, Wainwright, because his son is Rufus Wainwright.
Right. And that was the fun fact.
And he was one of the guys who sang on the I Am Sam soundtrack. Mm. He sang, I forget the name of the song. It was like maybe like, I forget which Beatles song it was, but it was one of the good ones.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. The more you know.
Yeah. Oh, fun fact about that.
Fun fact, yeah.
The more you know used to not be the more you know. It used to be called, my uncle was telling me this. It's like, it was used to be like, this is what, like, you know, it was like a different phrase.
Interesting.
But it was like the NBC thing, and it was like the same concept.
Huh.
That's a fun fact, and that's
the That's the more you know. That's great.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. So that was weird.
Yeah.
And then there's like a really, really quick sketch where Chevy is dressed as Greg Allman, like from the Allman Brothers Band.
Hmm.
He's playing the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And they keep asking him all these questions.
And he's dressed as...
Greg Allman. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
And so they keep asking him questions, and every time they ask, how's your love life? He dodges the answer. He talks about, I'm doing great. There's a new album coming up. How's your love life? Oh, I'm doing great. There's lots of groupies. Money coming in all the time. And then finally they break him down. Which, again, weird episode.
Yeah.
And they say, how is your love life? And he puts his head down and just says, toilet! I'm like, what? And we Googled it, our very intense research. And at the time, he was married to Cher.
I never knew that.
So, I don't know. Cher equals toilet? That doesn't make sense. Cher's the best.
Yeah. So, maybe she was breaking his heart or something.
He was probably the not.
Yeah.
He was probably the toilet part.
Yeah, he was being the toilet. Okay, so the next one, I'll try to tackle this.
Oh, yes, this one was good. This was probably my favorite sketch.
Take it away.
Oh, are you sure?
I don't
remember. It's the one where Gilda gets the crap beaten out of her.
Oh!
Sounds real bad out of context.
Yes! Oh, this is so good. This one's really good. So Lorraine is some sort of assistant. She introduces Gilda to Rex. Mr. Peckinpah?
Peckinpah.
Peckinpah.
Which, like, what?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Weird name. But that's Belushi. And she's just nervous because the guy is tough. And then, anyway, so I'm getting this wrong. You should pick
up. No. So she's all nervous because, you know, she's heard Mr. Peckinpah, played by Jim Belushi, is like a tough guy.
Yeah.
And Rex, who's played by Robert Klein, is like, no, don't worry. It's just a facade. Like, I've worked with him a million times. He's great.
Yeah.
And then Jim Belushi comes in, and the first thing he does is says he's going to fire someone. So that's comforting.
Yeah.
And then so he's like, all right, let's start this. Let's go. You know, action. And Gilda barely gets two words out before he cuts her off. And he literally just goes up to Gilda Radner and slaps her.
Yeah.
And Gilda is like, you know, the best physical comedian. Mm. And so he says, like, bring it down a little bit. And she's just like, okay. You know, she's like this young actress who's trying to make it. And so she's like, okay, I guess that's normal. And she does it again. And he cuts her off again. And this time he kicks her in the shin. You know, so basically just throughout the sketch, this keeps happening. And, you know, it's just not working for me. And then he punches her in the stomach. He slaps her again. Pulls her hair. Pushes her onto the couch. So she finally gets through her line. And she's like, oh, thank God. And then Rex, played by Robert Klein, starts to say his. And as John Belushi, you know, comes up to Rex to, like, stop him, you know, before he can beat the shit out of Rex.
Yeah.
He takes down Belushi, you know, just to avoid that. But
it was pretty funny.
I was not expecting him to literally just slap her.
Yeah, and it looked kind of real.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess that's what they try to make it look
right.
like. But it was just the way they did it was pretty funny.
And, like, you couldn't do that with anyone else on that show.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have been as funny.
It wouldn't have gone over as well.
Right.
I feel like if you do it to Chevy, it would...
Mm. He'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd make it about himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of my favorite sketches. And, you know, we reiterate this a lot. We encourage you to watch these things.
Yeah.
Either before or right after we talk about them.
Yeah.
They're on Hulu, so.
The first 8 seasons?
I think so. First 8 and then the last, like, couple.
Yeah.
So do that. Anyway.
Yes.
Then they do really quick. They cut to, you know, they say, coming up next are tulips, the vodka of flowers? Like, sure.
What kind of crackhead wrote that?
Someone who really likes vodka.
Yeah, and flowers.
It was pretty funny. And then Weekend Update's up next. You know, Chevy starts his thing where he's pretending he's on the phone with a woman and doing inappropriate things. You know, they do the usual where they absolutely shit on President Ford.
Yeah.
They act like he's, like, the biggest dumb-dumb. So then they have, I think it's Dan Aykroyd as Frank Talinka, who's supposed to be a spokesperson for the Turn Off Your Lights campaign in 1976. Yeah. So, you know, he's talking about the energy crisis and its peril, which is adamant 40 years later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole time Chevy's just making faces behind him. And, well, Dan Aykroyd is saying, like, you know, don't use your razor that's plugged in, you know, save energy. And while he's doing it, Chevy is shaving behind him and things like that. And then something really gross happens. And Chevy says it's his girlfriend's birthday and says, hi, Jackie. Happy 17th.
Oh, God.
Which
yeah. wouldn't put it past me.
Right. I mean, like, and he's young, but he's not that young. It's gross.
He's probably, like, 23.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, Lauren's birthday, too, so that's nice. And then, of course, the best with Garrett Morris, headmaster of the New York School for the Hard of Hearing, which I love because Chevy can barely even start what he's trying to say because he's already laughing.
Yeah.
Which is nice because, like, you know, a lot of people, like, hate Chevy Chase for one reason or another, but, like, this kind of, like, shows that he's, like,
He's human
and he's enjoying his time there.
Yeah.
Plus, again, Garrett Morris doing anything is funny. Yeah. Then the cockroaches sketch.
Oh, my God, this sketch. We went into great detail last time.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to be able to capture the same detail we went into. But, so, oh God. Like, I just, okay. So there's cockroaches in this basement.
Yes.
There's this, like, creepy-ass basement.
Very creepy.
Robert Klein and Belushi are in camo. They come down the stairs, and they have those...
I just realized this whole episode I've been calling him Jim Belushi.
John.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jim's
shit.
His brother.
He has a brother?
Oh, yeah. He was on SNL that time, too.
What?
Yeah. John Obviously
Belushi.
Not as...
Jim Belushi.
Not as... prestigious.
Oh my God. We're gonna have to fact check ourselves.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Jim Belushi was on that show According to Jim.
Oh yeah.
That's John Belushi's
his
brother. Yeah.
Oh my God, I knew that but I didn't know it.
Yeah, so that's embarrassing for me. anyway, so Robert Klein and John Belushi.
Johnny boy.
Yeah.
So basically they come down the stairs with those, these huge things that are, like, meant to kill bugs.
Like pest guns.
Pest guns. and then he says, I can smell a cockroach a mile away. And, Klein is a baby. A little
child. Yeah, he's like, well, yeah, like, I don't want to
kill them.
Yeah. And he says, they're God's creatures and is being loud despite for their sensitive hearing. Their sensitive hearing?
So, yeah. So, yeah, he's a big baby. They're God's creatures. He says they're God's creatures. And so, obviously, Belushi and Klein here are like, pest control people. They're, like, wearing camo, and they're, like, taking it way too seriously. Yeah. Well, Belushi is.
Yeah.
And so, Belushi's just telling him to be quiet because the cockroaches have sensitive hearing. But Klein's, like, you know, trying to be loud to, like, make sure that...
Yeah, like, don't... We're not here.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't run away.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. So he's freaked out because... Klein is freaked out because he saw one of those horrifying Raid commercials. Which are still weird and creepy.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a fan of cockroaches.
So are the Mucinex commercials.
Oh, those are...
The big blob of mucus.
The one with the toes? Those are gross, too.
Yeah, what are these commercials? What are they doing?
They're trying to be as gross as possible, I guess. I don't know, but Raid commercials are kind of creepy. And I can only imagine how creepy they were.
And then they're, like, show, like, examples of... Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So basically, you know, he's like, why are you so obsessed with killing these cockroaches to Jim Belushi? And, Belushi's brother, Billy, had a house that was infested with cockroaches. And he's telling this story about his brother being killed by the cockroaches. And you're like, how do you get killed by a cockroach?
Yeah.
So he sees a cockroach, the brother, and wants to step on it. And he missed. And it says, stepped on a live electrical wire.
Oh, God.
So he says, every cockroach I kill is for my brother, Billy. Which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
And then they had the cockroach walk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. So Robert Klein still can't do it. And so he talks about the eternal crawl, which is essentially just, like, from the dawn of time, how the cockroaches have gone through
Egyptians and Greeks and all these historical people, and then, like, the cockroach is, like, walking on
like
the
a real
stream.
Cockroach.
Yeah, and how, we tried to figure this out, like, how they trained a cockroach beyond.
Yeah, no, like, it literally just walks in a straight line.
Yeah, they must have done some type of editing with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Really intense 1970s editing.
Yeah, with, like, actually cutting the film with, like, a knife or, like, a razor, however they
cut it. I don't know. It was, again, real weird.
Yeah.
Real weird.
A lot of cockroach stuff.
And then they did one of those, like, go to commercial superlatives saying, this woman has met Martin Milner, who I guess was an actress called Adam, or actress. I'm all over the place. He was an actor who was on a show called Adam 12, a police procedural in the 70s.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. I love, love, love the next one, where Gilda's talking about being a fireman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a good one.
Yeah. You know, she really, it's weird, because it's kind of just like an inner monologue. Well, not inner. It's a monologue.
Yeah.
Just a regular one. And she's dressed like a fireman. Yeah. Or she has, like, just, I think she has the hat and the jacket.
Yeah, she has, like, some type of hat.
Yeah. And, you know, Gilda just, like, rambles about things, which is the best.
Yeah, she's a rambler.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm a fireman, and I think being a fireman is the most noble and unselfish job in the world. And then you get a dog, and you get to play board games. You know, kids look up to you. And she says, you get to see people in their underwear if their house burns down in the middle of the night. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and she says you have to have short names, because if your name is too long.
Yeah, like Sal or Bob.
But if it's like
Vincento,
it's too long, you're dead.
Yeah.
She says, you know, that she gives some fire prevention tips. She says, be very careful with old people's birthday cakes. Yeah. you know, she says, never smoke in a subway or an elevator. I'm not really sure why, but it's against the law, so don't do it. And her final tip before she leaves is, if you're playing bingo, sit near an exit. It was cute. I love her. She's the best.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, God.
We've got...
No.
Muppets on Acid. I like that we're on episode 5.2, and have, like, a segment.
We already have our own...
It's, like, called something.
Yeah,
we've
created a nickname we know.
So it's really called Land of Gorch, which isn't any better, let's be real.
Yeah.
And so these are some weird-ass Muppets.
Yeah.
But they're actually Muppets. Like, they're from Jim Henson. Like, Jim Henson is in the opening credits and everything. So, poor Plubus.
Yeah, it's Plubus and Scred. Scred is, they're all doomed.
Plubus has a headache. Or, sorry, a migraine.
A migraine.
Yeah.
And who's his putas?
Puta is the wife.
Oh, okay.
The like scroungy, angry, typical
old lady wife.
Old lady wife.
So he said her suggestion is a song.
She doesn't sing great.
So she does a dance. Vash does a dance. She does a belly dance, and Vash is like the
she's like the slutty mistress.
Yeah. And then so she has Muppet cleavage, which is just weird on so many levels.
Horrifying.
It's just someone had to actually create that, and like they're like, that looks all right.
They said, okay, so I don't know the workflow of this, but they were like, all right, we need a sexy Muppet. And the guy was like, what?
And they're like, yeah, you heard us right.
Right. And he was like, okay, so here's the Muppet. And they said, no, it needs cleavage.
Yeah. That's like, what we're trying to get the essence of this character. She's a real slutty Muppet.
That sounds like a band name.
The slutty
Muppet! Anyway, she's real slutty.
Yeah, and so Anyway, so Scred found a do-it-yourself acupuncture book. Mm-hmm. Does not go well.
Does not. There's lots of, like, shoving things in places that they don't
Yeah, know. Like, all these needles everywhere. Ooh. And yeah. then, so they go to the Mighty Favag.
As per usual.
And then he says, not tonight, I have a headache. Yep.
I hope Plubus feels better.
Poor Plubus.
Yeah.
So up next was the roadie for the Vanilla Fudge.
Yeah, they have one of those... commercial superlative things
going on.
So the Vanilla Fudge has broken up a bunch of times, fun fact. But they sang that song You Keep Me Hanging On, which everybody knows.
Sing it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you don't want to hear that.
I'm just kidding.
I'd rather talk about the Slay Muppet. But yeah, so they say this person is a roadie for the Vanilla Fudge. I don't know. It's still, I mean, these things are like that and the Martin Milner one, like, we obviously don't understand them because we're younger generation.
Yeah.
But I still wish they did those things, because I think it'd be like if I, you know, was ever in like the SNL audience and got like a superlative or whatever, that would like
be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like my profile picture for life.
Yes. Yes. They should really do that.
You know,
they should bring it back.
It could be like roadie
for
Lizzo.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hell yeah, I'd be a roadie for Lizzo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Robert Klein comes back on with some more stand-up.
Oh, yeah, this was cool.
The Air Force Academy, he talked about how it's weird that they're all in the same outfit. Like,
I can't imagine. That would be, thinking about, that's weird.
That everyone wears the same outfit?
Yeah.
I guess it is. Well, I never thought about it.
I mean, in general, in life, it's weird. I mean, being, like, if you were to perform in front of a bunch of people who are all wearing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's true. And it's like, it takes away their
I'm trying to think of an example that we would, like, do. I don't know. But, like, if we did, not to be funny, like, if we did, like, a live episode of this.
Hey.
And, yeah. But, like, everybody showed up wearing the same outfit.
That would be, like, creepy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
Strange.
Yeah. He has a point, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. So he went to Alfred in New York with the brochure of people looking happy toward the future. Oh, yeah, he's talking about, like, college and, like, everyone's always looking happy.
Right, because you're not going to put, like, a sad person on the brochure.
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Come to this school.
Yeah. Abnormal Psych, they talk about...
Phineas Gage, who's the guy who... he was in like some crazy accident where a railroad pike went through his head, but he survived.
Oh, right.
But then, like, you know, his whole psychology changed, which is a thing that Klein learned in his abnormal psych class.
Yeah. Huh.
And so he jokes, like, you know, they found out he was much more irritable and had trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
No shit.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you? Yeah. No, I liked that little stand up because it wasn't like too much. But he made some good points.
Yeah.
Then there was a weird ad.
Price is Right stamp gun.
Yeah, so you can just, like, change the price
of
whatever you want.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this can of peas is now 2 cents.
Yeah. It was like,
cha-ching.
Yeah, it was like too obvious of a joke.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I missed something.
Yeah. I wonder if, like, some of this stuff is just, like, funnier when it's, like, aired live.
Yeah.
Or, like, when you're going through it. Maybe there's something happening in
That's
the world.
True.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there was a major price gun outage.
Yeah. I'm giving them a little slack. Maybe they don't deserve it. I don't know.
It's funny. So then Loudon Wainwright comes back, and he sings this real depressing song.
Yeah.
About, like, how people are going to feel guilty when he dies. And
yes!
Shit. So weird.
Yeah, like, what was it? Did we have the name of the song? It was just
it's
like...
So, I think it's Unrequited to the Nth Degree. So... It was real weird. In the middle of it, he, like, does all these different laughing sounds. He says, like, guffaw, 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 chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. It's, like, so effing weird. And then he goes into, like, this whole thing about, like, I'm gonna die, and you treated me like garbage,
yeah.
So you better be guilty.
Yeah.
It was a very big turnaround for the Bicentennial song.
Yeah, he really did something. Oh, I want to... I made a note in here. It
yes.
was, like, I said this last time, but...
Mm-hmm. They don't know that.
You guys do not know that. It was like When I'm 64 meets Bright Eyes, like a song.
Oh,
about,
yeah!
Song about death. Like, I wonder.
So accurate.
Then I also ended up, I was like, I wonder if he ended up dying or, like, if he's still alive. He's still alive.
Still
age,
kicking.
Age 73.
Oh, he must have been really young.
And then that's when I found out he was Rufus Wainwright's dad.
Right.
Gets more interesting. There's one more fun fact.
Ooh, can't wait.
He
the more you know.
He married a German guy and conceived a child with Leonard Cohen's daughter.
What?
Who sang Hallelujah.
I don't remember that whatsoever.
I said that last time.
I don't. That, does this face look like
what
you
a
told
world,
me
what a world. I know it doesn't. So this is, yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, he married a German guy. They conceived a child. Leonard Cohen. Yeah, the guy who sang
yeah,
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Hallelujah. Leonard Cohen, yeah.
What a world.
His daughter. His daughter conceived for Loudon.
For Loudon and German guys.
German mans.
German
That's
mans.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Like
I wonder if it's because their dads were friends.
Maybe.
No, wait.
Wait. If their dads were the same person?
Wait. Sorry. Now I'm confused.
I'm so confused.
So Loudon married the German guy. Or his son married the German guy.
His son married a German guy.
So Rufus.
Rufus Wainwright
married
yeah,
the
married
German,
German
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, so maybe Leonard Cohen.
Is friends with
Loudon.
Loudon Wainwright. That could be true.
Because
that makes
like,
sense. They're both singer songwriters.
Yeah.
Acoustic-y.
Yeah.
Angry.
So he was like, "Hey, my son
needs a
surrogate."
Line. Yeah. Seriously.
He's like, "I have the perfect person."
My daughter.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right.
Fun
well,
times.
Anyway, that dude's weird.
Yeah.
Weird songs. Anyway. I love the next sketch. It was another one of Jane Curtin's like fake talk shows.
Mm.
And it's called Looks at Books. and the author was Emily Latella, which was played by Gilda.
Mm.
And they said she had this whole series of books about tiny things. So there was
yes.
The Tiny Garden.
Oh,
and
God.
She explained her book about the Tiny Kingdom. And before everything that was tiny, she would say, little. She had a weird accent. Teeny, tiny, itty, bitty, weeny. And like every time that Jane Curtin asks her a question, she rambles with this little teeny tiny itty bitty weeny thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, like let's go, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a princess and a prince and whatever. And and so Jane Curtin's okay, so all right, so the prince and the princess lived happily ever after. And then Emily Latella says, no, when the princess and prince went to the tiny kingdom one night, the princess found out that the prince had a little, teeny, tiny, itty, bitty, weeny mother. It was cute. You know,
yes.
It was so funny.
Yes.
The next one I think we've actually seen before. Was the if you want to apply to be an ambassador, right? Ambassador Training Institute, which I've realized I think they replay fake ads now too. I feel like I've seen them more
do?
Than once. Not often.
Not often, but sometimes, yeah.
I mean, there's only five episodes. You're already replaying stuff. You guys run out. You guys running out of ideas.
Oh my God.
That's fine. Jamie's blowing up.
I thought
she's
no, it's
so
my,
popular.
It's my
popular.
Alarms I put on.
You have so many alarms.
Stop!
Oh my gosh.
I'm sensitive about that.
That's
no.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I have too many alarms and
that was
everyone should know.
That was wild. Okay. Jamie like went to like swipe through her alarms just to like check the one off that just went off, and I've never seen a site like this. It was a full like three screens worth of alarms. And it looked like four of them were for the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm just not gonna judge, but that was insane. We'll post a picture of that on Instagram.
I can't defend myself here. It's true. I love alarms. I have a healthy obsession.
That's not healthy. I love alarms is not something any other human has ever said before on purpose.
I can't.
Oh, that was
I
so funny.
Right
anyway.
We'll talk about
boy.
It later.
So, then Robert Klein. I wrote Rob in our notes like we're
Rob,
best friends. You
Robbie.
Know, my BFF, Rob.
Bobby.
Bob. So he comes out on stage with a bandana and a harmonica and says to the band, you know, give me some blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he starts stomping his leg to the beat and he sings a whole song. I can't stop my leg. and he says that like over and over
then,
again, right?
Yeah, and I put in my notes that I'd like to see John Mayer do a cover of I Can't Stop My Leg.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Because he's just that type of guy.
I was gonna say that sounds like right up his alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says, I can't stop my leg, and then the beat stops and then his leg stops moving.
Yeah.
But then of course starts going again.
Starts going.
then they have another coming up next, which I can't even like fathom what this even means. But it says invisible Japanese teenage albino bedwetters. I don't understand why they said that. and yeah. what it's supposed to be, because I'm pretty sure it's before anything like Teenage Mutant Ninja things.
Yeah, not related to that.
Anyway, the next thing was really interesting. So ABBA comes back. Sorry, okay. ABBA comes back. And they're singing Waterloo, another one of their really good songs. And as they're singing, across the screen is written, right now, ABBA is lip-syncing. Dot, dot, dot. It's yeah. not their fault. The tracks didn't arrive from Sweden.
Yeah.
Like, that. First of all, that's wild.
Yeah.
It's interesting that one track made it, but the other didn't.
I don't know what
or
happened.
Or maybe they were lip syncing both. I don't know.
Who knows? Ashley Simpson moment.
Oh, yeah. Throwing it back. Okay. Yeah, so that was interesting. I mean, I don't... Like, it's... I'm just trying to, like, figure
like
that out.
How it actually worked.
Yeah. But it was funny. Like, they made it look like, you know, like we said. So it was supposed to be, like, a continuation from the earlier scene while they were on the Titanic. So... Mm. The camera angle was funny. It made it look like they were sinking. Like, the tables were moving. There's water splashing, like, everywhere. Yeah. Like, an absurd amount of, like, buckets and buckets.
Yeah.
There's a waiter who, like, trips because the ship is angled one way. But I just thought it was so interesting. Like, what do you do in that situation? You know? Like, I wonder if they thought about, maybe we just don't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it.
Me too. Waterloo's a good song. Gets stuck in your head. It's the best.
I don't know what that was.
Oh, it's the best.
I don't really know their classics, unfortunately.
That's okay.
It happens.
All their songs are classics.
Ooh.
But yeah, so that was the last big thing. And then, you know, Klein says thank you and everything in a bathrobe.
Yeah.
That was tiny.
Right? I didn't know. Yeah. Was it necessary? I don't know.
Probably not. And again, this episode was weird.
Yeah.
Altogether weird.
All around weird.
Gilda stuff at the top, as per usual.
Yeah, Gilda's. Yeah,
I was gonna say the Jane Curtin one was really good, but Gilda was also in that.
Yeah, she was in a lot. I feel like this episode she was in more than most.
Yeah,
of her, the previous ones.
Yeah.
They gave her a lot more. Which
I
is
agree.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's it for episode 5.
That's episode 5.
SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. This is fun. We gotta do this more often.
We have to not mess up the recording. So
that's
all
right. So, Jamie has a would you rather. Last time we had, would you rather work with the Target lady?
Or have the cheerleaders, have your child be one of the cheerleaders, Spartan cheerleaders.
And I think I said, I'd rather the cheerleaders.
And then I said, I just nixed the whole question. And
oh, yeah.
So I'd rather be
oh, yeah, you cheated. Okay.
Yeah, I cheated. No, I'm not going to cheat on this one, though.
All right, so here it is.
All right. Would you rather have to sing with Garth and Kat in a speech at a wedding?
So specific.
Or be stuck in the hot tub with with lovers Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch?
Oh my gosh, that's
lover,
such a...
Lovers.
That's such a good question. Those are good. Because, like, they're both horrible.
Yeah. I think I know my answer. Do
yeah.
I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I think I secretly love singing, like, Garth and Kat style. I'm with my cousin, he's like into theater and his wife, and like we had like a little like ditty kind of thing.
Yeah.
We did it together, and like it's actually really fun and ridiculous. So that's why I would choose Garth and Kat.
All right. I don't like that at all.
But do you like the lovers?
I don't like them either, but I do think if someone else was with me, like if I wasn't by myself, I would be fine with it, because at least you could like, just
what the fuck?
Pretend they're not there.
Yeah.
Or even, you know what? I could probably do it with my phone, like headphones.
Headphones.
I think I'd be
like...
okay. And I would just, in my head, be like, I'm so glad I'm not these people.
They're
yeah.
so classic.
I love them, though. The one where his beard starts to fall off. Oh, my
oh,
God.
Oh, I don't even remember that one.
Yeah.
I think
it was with Drew Barrymore. Yeah, that one was good, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that might have been the same one, actually.
Yeah, I
think.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, those, oh, my God, Rachel Dratch.
Is so good, and she was just in a recent commercial on the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, with
the
packing.
Yeah, the pack.
It's a magic packer or something
pack.
Like that. Smart pack. That's what it is.
with the
smart pack.
Good old John Krasinski
and Chris Evans, right?
and then
Big Poppy. Yes.
Big Poppy.
Smart pack.
And best commercial of the
She was on SNL recently being Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, I didn't see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, with her moving hair.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, so that's our That's our time.
First
of all, thank you if you're listening to this.
Yes, big thanks.
It's super appreciated. Our friends and family have been, you know, rate reviewing, subscribing, yes, and retweeting and things like that. It's really awesome. Makes us feel good.
Yes.
So thank you for those of you who are doing those things. Mm-hmm. Also, thank you to the Digital Learning Lab here at Princeton. Mm-hmm. They let us record here for free, and it's a really nice studio.
Yes.
Nice mics, nice headphones. Not that we use them, clearly, because otherwise we would have known that last time our mic wasn't working. Yeah, they just redid one of the podcasting rooms here, and now it has, like, soundproof walls, so no one can hear us screaming about ridiculous SNL things. But yeah, so follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at More Cowbell Pod. I think that's it. Yeah, so we realized recently that we've been doing our outro wrong.
Incorrect. We are very sorry for any avid fans.
Yes, so you can now listen in to our new sign-off, which is...
If you've got a fever, the only prescription is more cowbell.
Yay!